In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
It's a very special WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz as we're at Chickies in South Philly for Birds at the Half. You can join us this evening starting at 6 for a special guest bartending event with Eagles right tackle Lane Johnson. Benefits the Travis Mannion Foundation. Lane Johnson also a nominee for the NFL Salute to Service Award, which is very cool. You can vote for Lane at 94WIP.com. Joining us for this hour, a rare thing, Elliot Shore Parks joins us for an hour.
I thought that's why you're saying it was special, because I was here now.
Nah, you're here a lot.
Nah.
We like having you.
I am at Chickies a lot. I do love coming to Chickies, so it's always always fun.
You know,
we are here a lot.
I'm gonna give Chickies a compliment.
All right, that's
good.
And then I'm going to insult our parent company.
Okay.
So we're at Chickies every Monday. This week we're here Friday or Wednesday as well, and it's a restaurant. But I leave here and I never smell like the restaurant.
Ah.
You know, like I don't have it in my hair.
Right.
My clothes don't smell.
That's a great point.
You know, and which is a big deal, by the way. Because, so, you know, before I came here to the show today, I went over to our offices to do a little show prep, and they were having a very nice. This is a nice thing that they do. A very nice Thanksgiving meal for all the staff. It's when you see the staff that only comes in, you know, three times a year.
Yeah, they come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, the work from home staff.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm sitting there in the middle part of the radio state or our offices, and there's, you know, there's hundreds of people eating.
Yep.
And I left, and I smell like the friggin' food.
Yes.
Oh.
Smell like Thanksgiving.
Smell like turkey.
Which item?
It's just one smell. It's like there's certain restaurants you leave and there's just one smell.
Sure.
Now I don't have it at Chickies, which is wonderful, but I go into our offices for an hour. And I leave smelling like Thanksgiving dinner. My hair smells, my jacket smells, my pants smell. So
it's about time he smelled like turkey.
Yeah. The guy goes around meat one time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a lot going on.
Yep. You're around it more than I am, Elliot? Is that what you'd say?
Pause.
So, Elliot, we led the show today with this big picture question.
This new take.
All right, let's hear it.
Are the Eagles in the elite category of Super Bowl contenders with the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Detroit Lions? Are they in that category?
Absolutely. Why wouldn't they be?
I would say their passing game is not as good as those other teams.
So I would agree with you.
And the second thing is the defense has played well. I am still a little bit skeptical of the pass rush for an entire season in a playoff.
So I think both of those are fair points. I do think the passing game this year, they've had to win with the running game. They're a running team, as I've always said, right? That's their identity.
You were the first one to say that. You convinced Ike.
But I think that, you know, you can go to every team and point to deficiencies they have, right? You can't go to every team and say they've played in a Super Bowl. And Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts have gone to a Super Bowl. So I think the Lions have played better than the Eagles this year. But if you're telling me what are the teams that I think can go to the Super Bowl and win it, it matters to me that the Eagles have been in that game and that they've done it. The Lions have been very impressive. The Lions have not been to the Super Bowl. They haven't, right? They lost last year. So I think the Lions and the Eagles definitely deserve to be in the same conversation. But I don't think it's do the Eagles deserve to be in the Lions conversation. I think it's the reverse. Do the Lions deserve to be in the Eagles conversation?
Because the Eagles were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago?
Yes, absolutely.
Why did that matter in the Bucs game last year?
They lost the Bucs game, I agree. But postseason success matters to me when I'm picking teams that are going to succeed in the postseason. It's why every year when the Sixers start, people go, well, they're not going to win, right? The Celtics have won a title. When the NBA playoffs start, it'll matter that they've done it. It'll matter that the Warriors have done it. Like, it matters to me that teams have shown they can go in the postseason to win big games. The Eagles have shown that. The Lions have kind of shown it. They've not shown it to the level the Eagles have.
Okay, if I'm playing devil's advocate, because it's a good argument, my devil's advocate would say, I've never seen this Lions team collapse like I saw this Eagles team collapse last year, and Jalen and Nick were both part of that.
Yeah, well, if you ask me who's more likely to collapse, I'd probably say the Eagles, but that wasn't the question.
That's it.
The question was, are they in the same class?
Sure.
And I look, the Lions are a good team. They are a good team. But I think we've gone too far with acting like they are the class of the conference, or they are definitely in that, like, elite, elite team. Like, look at these other teams we're talking about. The Chiefs have won Super Bowls, right? The Baltimore Ravens have been in the playoffs year after year. They have an MVP in Lamar Jackson. The Bills probably would have a Super Bowl if it was not for the Chiefs. Like, the Lions are impressive.
But there's a lot of mental gymnastics.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is mental.
But then why are the Niners considered the best team in the NFC? Then are the Eagles in the Niners class? The Niners have been in two Super Bowls in the last 4 years.
You want to put the Niners in that class? Go for it, because they've been there. I don't think the Niners are playing as well as the Eagles and the Lions this year.
I totally agree.
So when you talk about teams that we think are playing well enough to win it, I think the Eagles are A, playing well enough to win it, and B, have shown that they can win in the playoffs. The Niners have shown that, but the Niners, A, are coming off of losing a Super Bowl, and we saw last year what that does to the Eagles, and they're not playing well.
And I guarantee you, Lions fans, and maybe even the Lions, they're keeping an eye on the Eagles.
They definitely
view the Eagles as the biggest threat to them in the NFC. It's not Green Bay. They get to play Green Bay twice a year. San Francisco is not the team they were last year when they were a juggernaut on their way back to the Super Bowl. If you look around the NFC, you're saying the Eagles are one of the hottest teams, if not the hottest team. I don't know when the Lions lost their last game, but the Eagles have won six straight.
I think the Lions lost in week three. I think it was when the Lions.
So it's probably around the same around time. Around the same. So they won about seven straight. Seven or eight straight.
For me, I'm like on the borderline of doing it. I need these two games. And I don't even I don't know that I need even them to win both
games.
They
need to look good in them.
They need to look good. The Rams are not a pushover. It's in Los Angeles. And then the Ravens have not played well. But I almost don't want them angry. But playing that quarterback in Baltimore, playing that team with the Rams, I think in 2 weeks, it's like an eye test thing. It's not even a wins and losses thing to me. Now, if they go, it's a wins and losses thing if they lose both of them. But to me, call me in 2 weeks, and then I would put them in that category.
I think you have to go at least 1-1, and if you don't beat the Rams, you have to beat the Ravens. So
yes.
I think they, if they beat the Rams, I think the Ravens falls under the acceptable loss category. Like you go up there. You are down there, I guess.
Unless you lose 42-7.
That's why I'm saying it's an eye test thing. I think the Ravens are an eye test thing. I think the Rams are, you really got to win it.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if you want to keep up the hope of getting the number one seed.
They're beating the Rams Sunday.
Agreed.
They're the better team. And in that Ravens game, it's going to be a huge matchup. I think the Ravens will be coming off a two-game losing streak, which makes
I think they lose Monday, too.
Yes, I think they lose to the Chargers Monday out there in Los Angeles. They got a short week coming back.
And then it's in Baltimore, right?
Yep, then the game is in Baltimore against us. So, yeah, I like where the Eagles are at right now, man. I'm telling you, I like where the Eagles are at right now.
You know what the Ravens game reminds me of? Remember in 2022 when the Eagles played the Titans at home?
Yeah.
And the narrative going into that game was
physical.
Titans are physical and tough, and they're winners, and Vrabel's their head coach. And the Eagles just, smacked them around in that game.
Smothered Derrick Henry.
Yeah, and good point. Derrick Henry in that game, too. I didn't think about that part of it. I think the Ravens are a similar, like, barometer for this team. I think the Eagles, they have a better defense than the Ravens do now.
Yeah, for sure.
I think they have a better offense. Lamar is the better quarterback, obviously. But I think if you go down to Baltimore and you lose that game 24-21, you know, something like that, but you clearly match the Ravens' physicality, I think that would be a really promising sign for where this team is at. I don't think you have to win the game.
I'm telling you, that damn Pittsburgh Steelers team.
They're good.
That's a tough one.
That, man, if Russ keep playing the way he's playing, man, we might be looking at Eagles Steelers Super Bowl.
And that's an overlooked game on the Eagles schedule, too.
Yes.
Like, well, at least at the beginning of the year.
At the beginning of the year, I thought it was a lock.
Right. But I think now we look at the Ravens game as the toughest game, and it probably still is. Just because it's on the road.
Is, yeah.
Well, that one's at home, so you could argue that. But I think the Steelers are a tougher team to play than the Ravens are.
And the other thing about the Steelers, and he threw a really bad interception last week. You watch Russell Wilson, he looks like Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
I don't know what was happening in Denver last year, but he's
moving. Rashawn Payton hated him.
Well, his numbers weren't even that bad last year, which is crazy. Like, obviously, it didn't work out. But I think
Rashawn Payton didn't like him.
Yeah. But I think he had, like, 24 touchdowns, something interceptions.
He had 26
like
touchdowns and eight interceptions.
So his numbers actually weren't even that bad. But
and that was before they benched him.
Right.
Remember, he did all that before they actually
benched
him. He
didn't even play half the year, whenever it was.
215-592-9494. Josh in Swarthmore, you're on WIP. What's up, Josh?
Not much, fellas. How you doing today?
What up, Josh?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we got it. Loud and clear. Yeah.
All right, good. Yeah. Ike, by the way, where's your head at, man, with the 69 earlier? Come on, man. But listen, I think the Eagles.
Well, I can tell you where his head is.
Yeah, I was about to see.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. Yeah. I don't know where your head was. Yeah. I just said 69.
It's a family program.
I do think the Eagles are absolutely an elite team, but you got to put a little bit of an asterisk there.
Yes.
I'm with ESP just because I think they have that Super Bowl pedigree. And Jalen, I mean, I trust him in a big game. I almost trust him more down the stretch in a big game than I would Lamar. You've seen him.
What about him versus Jared Goff?
I think Jared. That's a good one.
Jalen was better in the Super Bowl than Jared Goff was.
Wow,
that's true.
Or Jared Goff was terrible in the Super Bowl.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
But I think what divides them, if it's anything, I would look at it like the Chiefs and the Lions are like 1A. And I put the Bills and the Eagles at 1B. And I think the biggest reason why is the Eagles play completely differently. And Jalen plays very differently when they have ball security. When they hold on to the ball, they don't turn the ball over. It seems like an obvious excuse, but he plays completely differently. With the game plan they have, if they turn the ball over, I mean, then they're staring down the barrel of the gun and they have to find a way to throw the ball, which is not something they've really been great at. So if they can stay healthy and they hold on to the ball, I mean, I don't think anybody could beat this team, and that includes the Chiefs. So I do think they are elite.
Here's what I'll say about the passing game, and I'm curious because, Spike, I agree that I think it's a concern. So I'm curious how you feel about this. But I just think there's a difference between saying this Eagles team cannot throw their way to the Super Bowl. I don't think Jalen will be able to throw it 40 times, 3 games in a row, and they'll win the game.
Right.
But I think that's different than saying, can Jalen make 5 or 6 big throws in a game? So, yes, they're going to have to run the ball to get to the Super Bowl, and that's like their best form of offense. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that they're incapable of throwing the ball. Like, Jalen has had big third down completions. They've had big fourth down completions.
Yeah.
So it sounds like I'm higher on the passing game than maybe you guys are. Spike, I should say.
But I think it's a – thank you for the call, Josh. It's a whole game thing. It's like I don't need the quarterback to be Robert Horry. It's nice that he makes big plays, but part of the reason – like, you could be up 21-0 in games that, like, you just look at the last two games and how they struggled offensively in the first half.
Yeah.
And I'm conceding that there are other quarterbacks that struggle. But what I'm doing is, like, when you look at the Eagles passing game this year, I think we would all say that it is not what we expected it to be in terms of efficiency.
Or the team, probably, to be
or
honest.
The team, yeah. Yep. And we also thought that. And when you look at their personnel, they should be better. So I guess my concern is that I'm not saying he should have to throw the ball 40 times. I'm saying that the efficiency with which they do it is not where I would like it to be. And I do think he makes big plays. Those things happen, absolutely. But there are going to be games that call for more than him making a big play down the stretch. And they're just. They're not there. They don't – numbers-wise, they don't pass it. And everybody rolls their eyes at DVOA. That's fine. You watch it. It doesn't pass the eye test.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think they leave meat on the bone in the passing game.
Yeah.
And I think what hurts the passing game is not like an inability through the whole game to do it. It's just 5 or 6 plays a game where guys are open and Jalen is just missing them, right?
Yep.
So I do agree with you that it is a concern that they're basically counting on Jalen making it happen in these big spots. Like, I get that. It's just we've seen them do it, and I also think kind of baked into your concern is maybe this somebody's going to stop the Eagles from running the ball. I'm not so sure. I mean, their offensive line is really good. Saquon's obviously awesome. If Saquon goes down, they're in big trouble. I would be surprised if a team for a whole game is able to hold this running attack.
They might not need to hold them for a whole game.
So your worry is they just fall behind quickly.
Yeah.
They go to Detroit, they fall behind 10-0, and then it kind of snowballs.
Yeah, and by the way, 10-0 is, for a team that can throw the ball, is not quite the challenge that it will be for us. Now, I said earlier, I think their commitment to the running game and their defense allows you, I would hope, if they're in that situation, to just put their head down, get a good drive under their belts and make a 14-7 game. This sounds elementary. A 14-7 game is a lot different than a 14-0 game.
Yes.
Right?
So you're emotionally
down, you're down 14-0, all of a sudden you're down 14-7, then you're playing your game again. But that's not usually what teams do. Teams don't stay committed to that. And they're just going to, when you're playing the best teams, that it's just a, it's not a different game like it is in other sports, maybe in the NFL, but when you're playing the best teams, like, you're going to need that at some point, most likely.
Well, and I'll say this. If it's the Lions that we're worried about and we assume these two teams will finish as the top two teams, they wouldn't meet until the conference championship game.
Sure.
And something tells me they will have had to develop a better passing game if they get to the NFC championship game. Like, I think the offense will be much better at that time than what we see right now. And I don't think we give enough credit to the Eagles' defense to put a little bit of a strain on that Lions' offense.
Yep.
Like, that's the way I look at it. I don't look at it like Detroit's going to run up and down the field on us scoring and we have no way to stop them. Yeah, then if that's the case, you know what? We're losing. We're not losing because Jalen can't score every time they get the ball. We're losing because our defense sucks.
Yeah,
and they can't stop anybody. So the defense has to do their part in keeping – that's why we call it complementary football. It's not one-sided football. This defense is going to be a top-ranked defense and play the way they played all year. Then that's the type of defense I expect to see when you get in the postseason. And here's the other thing that Vic Fangio is a master at. They don't give up big plays. They make you dink and dunk down the field, and then see if you can capitalize there. And so with that happening, there's going to be limited possessions. So you're not going to get into a shootout where you're scoring, you got to score 30, they score 30. They play the Lions. It wouldn't surprise me if it's a 27-24, 24-21 type of football
game. So the only thing I would disagree with you in on there is I just don't think it's on the defense. Like if they lose to Detroit 37-34, like, yes, the offense will have played better, but all the money's on the offensive side of the ball. Expecting the defense to carry them to a Super Bowl, it'd be nice.
It's not carrying them. Carrying them means the other side is not doing their
part. No, I get that, but I'm saying –
But, no, that's what carrying means. No, right. I'm expecting the defense to do their job.
Yes.
That's what I expect them to do. It's not a Super Bowl team. If you don't think the defense is good enough, then it's not a Super Bowl team.
But I just think in this league, it's hard to expect the defense to be the reason
you win. No, it's not. Kansas City.
So Kansas City's a good example, but they also do have Patrick Mahomes, which I think has to factor in.
Oh, my God. That was a defensive-led team.
They were. But they
won the Super Bowl.
Right, but they still had Patrick Mahomes. And what was
I understand
score? In the Super Bowl, I think they had to get to what?
They had to get to what?
Wasn't it 28?
The score was 13-13, I believe, going into overtime. Wasn't it?
Maybe into the fourth. Regardless, I agree. Look, the defense was very good for Kansas City. But what I'm saying is all the money's on the offensive side of the ball. All the players.
So I
in the playoffs, if they're losing, like to your point, where if the defense is struggling and it's back and forth and back and forth, I'll be more disappointed in the offense for not getting it done than I will be for the defense.
I don't care about that.
I mean, everybody
can choose who they want to be disappointed in for whatever reason.
Right.
My thing is, if an offense scores 34 points, I'm not coming out of the game saying the offense cost us the game.
Well, who's going to get blamed for that game?
Just like I didn't say the offense cost us the Super Bowl.
Well, I think the offense did cost them.
Well, I'm just telling you, I didn't
say
it.
Yeah, no, I know.
You never heard me say that.
What this debate will sound like. Yeah.
No, I'll tell you.
It depends on what the score is. Just like if we lose 16-13.
If we lose,
I'm not going to blame the defense. I'm going to say the offense didn't do enough.
Right.
If we lose 37-34, I'll tell you who will get blamed. Unless there is an interception in the end zone. Nick.
Yeah. You can come up with a lot of scores where Nick will get blamed, I think.
Yeah. So the Eagles, I just haven't, other than that Tampa game, I haven't seen the defense look like that this year.
I agree. I don't think the defense is going to get lit up. I do think going to Detroit is a really, really hard challenge.
Or might not have to go to Detroit.
Maybe not. I agree.
Well, we will talk about that next, the Eagles' ability to get the one seed and – Jack, I think we have to do a little of grading of Elliot.
Oh, nice.
Love it.
Well, there's two specific things I think we all as a group need to determine the legitimacy of a couple of different things.
Well, the best part about being on your show more often is it gives you more and more chances to essentially make fun of me through different segments.
Well, that's this. Yeah. Look, this is what the entire show is like for all of us.
I know. Yes. Okay. Yes. I feel at home when you do it.
The top five is almost always about Ike. The text line is almost always making fun of me.
Yeah, and all the Twitter mentions are about me. So it even.
Well,
yeah.
We get a few. Jack gets a few Twitter mentions as well. But yes. Yeah.
So dodge and weave. We dodge and weave.
Yeah, we dodge and weave. So that is all coming up next on the WIP Afternoon Show. We are at Chickie's and Pete's in South Philly for Birds of the Half that benefits the Travis Mannion Foundation tomorrow, Terminal E, 7:30 a.m.
Yeah, are you going to be here for that, Elliot?
What are you doing?
Tailgated Terminal E.
With Elliot?
Elliot will be at Chickie's.
7:30 in the morning.
At Chickie's and Terminal E at the airport. You can get your free Bud Light Eagles shirt while supplies last.
Last time I did this, Hugh made me take 5 shots of Honey Jack. It was quite
Oh, my God. At the airport?
At the airport,
at 7 in the morning?
Yeah, it was fun.
Honey Jack?
Yeah.
Was that like, is that Jack Daniels?
Yeah,
Jack Daniels
honey, honey flavored, yeah.
5 shots?
5 shots,
yeah. Once I figured it was Jack Daniels, I figured
it
out.
Yeah. It was a long day. Good reasoning, yeah.
It was a long day.
5 shots before a flight?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You went to sleep?
No, I actually did the opposite.
You didn't go to sleep
Hold on. Did you have a hit with us that afternoon?
No.
Are you a good hang at the airport, Elliot?
Oh, did you just hear what I just said? Yes, okay. I'm an amazing
guy. Well, Hugh's a good hang.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Well, I'll tell you this. I'm not doing 5 shots of Honey Jack tomorrow morning.
Well, until Hugh says you better.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show. With Ike, Spike, and Fritz, very special edition, Birds at the Half at Chickie's and Pete's in South Philly, benefits the Travis Mannion Foundation. Portion of the proceeds of all crab fries today donated to the Travis Mannion Foundation. We have some good audio from the Kelseys talking about WIP in a moment.
It's about time.
Instagram captions from that.
The Kelseys had a conversation, I mean Travis and Jason, about WIP. But first, we need to... I think dial in on a couple of different Elliot things just to get a feel of where we are.
Yes. Elliot first, Jason Kelsey next.
Yeah. Well,
on
first,
this show, of course. Yeah.
First, Jack, I'm curious where you are on this. Mm. So we had the Elliot training camp stats with Jalen.
And it was looking bad for a while.
Yeah. And then he was about to take a victory lap.
Yes.
And he threw an interception. And then he hasn't been quite as good for the last couple of games.
Sure. Yeah.
So, Elliot, two questions. One, do you think Jalen Hurts has been a better passer this year than previous years? And if the answer is no, does that invalidate your training camp stats?
No, so I think Jalen has been exactly who I saw in training camp. If you remember when we talked about training camp, I didn't say he was, you know, throwing it all over the field, 50 yards here, 60 yards here. I said he was completing a high percentage of his passes.
This guy's unbelievable.
Yeah, I know.
He's pretty good.
Hold on. Yeah. He set the record, right, for consecutive pass without an interception.
Your own thing.
This year, Jalen Hurts.
He broke his own record. And we don't have any record from previous.
That was disgusting. Yeah. When he finally said that he's breaking his own record.
Well, unless you guys have 10 years of training camp stats, I'll be curious
to hear. You hit it for the entire training camp that he's going against himself.
Because he also had the record.
But why couldn't you said that?
Well, how many quarterbacks in franchise history have been better at taking care of the ball than him? Not many. So, like, it is a franchise. It's not surprising he would have it. But that aside, he then set his career record for consecutive throws without an interception in the regular season. So in the training camp he did it, and then in the regular season he did it. So, yes, of course it's validated.
How quickly from when you tweeted the Wilt photo in the Cowboys game did he throw the interception?
Literally, I'm not even kidding. Seconds. Like, the funniest thing is I turned to someone, I was like, I'm going to tweet this. And they're like, oh, it's funny. And I did it. I looked down on the field, and there's the interception. So you can blame me for that one.
Ike, what do you think about Elliot's bob and weave there? He's obviously a master bobber and weaver.
He's impressive, I tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's good to have the truth on my side.
What do you think about the validity of the training camp stats now after seeing Jalen during the regular season?
Well, I love Elliot. I've never bought into those stupid training camp stats.
Well, they are indicative of what happens.
So I love him to death. It doesn't really reflect in the play during the regular season so far. He's not throwing the ball as well as he did in 2022 from this standpoint. He's not throwing the ball as frequently, and they're not hitting on – well, I guess if he threw the ball more, he would have more yards per game.
Sure, yeah.
And that's not
his
fault.
But it is.
Okay, all right. So he's here's the weird thing. He's throwing at a higher clip per attempt. He's 8.4 this year. He was only 8 that year. So it's not as if he's throwing for like 7 yards per attempt. They're just not throwing it as much. He's only throwing it for 219 yards a game now versus 246 in 2022.
I actually think that invalidates the training camp stats more, because what you were seeing in training camp was a lot of short passes and dinking and dunking, which we haven't seen really at all.
I would agree with that, but I would say this to counter. Number one, he has the highest quarterback rating of his career currently, a higher quarterback rating than he did in 2022.
Yep.
He also, for only the second time in his career,
we use QBR,
has an interception rate below 2%. So you're right that the passes have ended up looking different, I think, than they expected. But, like, my training camp stats aside for a second, don't you think that there's an argument that there is more reason to believe in Jalen now than there was in 2022? Because in 2022, he wasn't doing the pre-snap stuff. He wasn't handling the blitz. Like, he was awesome. But it was more everyone around who was awesome, and he helped for sure. But, like, the offensive line was great. Kelsey was calling the protection, all those things. This year, I think the fact that we have seen him become a quarterback that can handle pre-snap ability has me believing in him more than I did in 2020. Why?
No, because in 2022, he was a young player still. And it was like, wow, we have this.
Right, but we didn't know if he could do it.
We had this idea that maybe he really is this special quarterback. And I don't think you're going to leave this season outside of winning the Super Bowl thinking we have a special quarterback.
So I don't think that's off the table yet, for what it's worth. But
I don't either.
But like, in just in terms of what a complete quarterback is, last year at the end of 2023, we didn't even know if he could pick up a blitz. Now,
well, he couldn't.
Right, exactly.
last year he couldn't.
Yes.
You know what's
this year we don't even talk about it. He's so good again.
And it's not really.
We did talk about it 1 week.
1 week.
Yeah.
And it's not really to argue about this. It's more just, I think it's interesting. So the blitz thing, I guess he's fixed it. But he also is taking arguably the most sacks in football. I think he's 30th.
Yeah, 28 sacks already.
Yeah. So I think his
30th of a per. So per dropback, he's, I think, 30th of 34 qualified quarterbacks in terms of most sacks per dropback.
Yeah, so I think you could almost argue he's been better.
Thank you, Gilio.
Pre-snap than post-snap. But, like, I agree with that point, Jack. I think his pocket presence this year has not been great. I think there are times where he has a clean pocket and he creates, like, a messy pocket, or he goes off to the side. But that's different from the blitz. So I think your point is fair, but I think that's a different issue than the
I guess I was more impressed with this 2022. I haven't really been that impressed this year.
Well, here's the other thing.
It was visually more impressive.
The RPO offense was still a thing back then. That's not a thing now. That opened up a lot of stuff for him, which was good. I just look at it like the ability is there. I think we just view it as we understand it's a running offense, so that's obviously or it must be a knock against Jalen. Mm-hmm. That we have a running offense. When in reality, in 2022, we had the number one rushing offense.
Yeah, I think
he was a bigger part of it.
I think Jack's point, I think the reason we look at it differently is because he was younger then.
Right.
Fair or unfair.
Sure.
Yeah, I think the reason that we were projecting, and it was really interesting when Jack read his draft write-up from the NFL, almost everything sounds exactly the same. Now he's the same person, but the limitations seem similar.
But I just think there's something to the fact that, you're right, when 2022, Jack, like, there was probably a sense that he could become, like, a top three without question guy. But I think now that he's gone through 2023, he's struggled. His flaws have been very much exposed by the league, and he has rebounded to an extent to become a quarterback that is 8-2, that, you know, I think is more impressive in a way than 2022.
And here's the other thing we don't give him enough credit for. He rarely causes you to lose games.
That's very true.
Like, his play doesn't necessarily lead. Now, he may not lead you every game, put the team on his back, and go out and make all these spectacular plays. I get all of that. But his play doesn't hold the team back from winning football games. Even the two losses that they have this year, I can't necessarily blame them on Jalen Hurts.
Atlanta a little bit more than Tampa.
Well,
the final
drive against Atlanta, he made the unnecessary throw when you could have gone for the field goal. But if Saquon catches the ball, which was a perfect pass, you don't even have the final drive.
Yeah,
and Tampa's on everyone. Tampa's on him and the defense.
He didn't have AJ or Devontae.
I'm really not just like trying to excuse away everything, but it is probably noteworthy that the three worst losses of Jalen's career have all been against Todd Bowles. Like, because we
sure, yeah.
We,
four at MetLife.
Well, because Spike, and I think it's a fair concern. Like, if they're down 10-0 against Detroit, can he bring them back? They're just not often down like 14-0 or 17-0 because one of Jalen's good qualities is he really doesn't let things snowball on him. Like, outside of Todd Bowles, who clearly just has his number.
Well, they're not down because the defense saves his ass.
Well, no, but I'm saying, like, if
he turned it over twice in the red zone against Green Bay, and and the defense saved his ass.
You're right, but they also won a shootout that game.
Well,
the defense weren't as good at this.
Yeah, so you're right about that. You're right, but like you could also flip that and say he had two interceptions early, two interceptions early, and he still led them to 37 points or whatever it was.
He'd led them. The Twitter question.
The defense didn't score him. I don't know.
We all watched that game, Elliot. You don't need to justify that game.
His stats were.
I saw the game.
So did I.
He,
I was there.
He could have turned the ball over five times.
You're right.
In that game.
You're right. But he still led them to the points. He just cost them points as well.
Okay. The Twitter question is sponsored by Mark's Jewelers.
It's true.
Mark's Jewelers has twice the twinkle this holiday. Win a brand new Harley Davidson or Ike's custom championship ring.
Yeah.
At Mark's-Jewelers.com.
I got to see
Well,
this.
What championship?
Fantasy
champion. Oh.
Smack him, Hugh.
Yeah. Are the Eagles in the same tier as the Lions, Bills, and Chiefs? 65% say yes. So we'll get to the other Elliot grading thing in a second, but
it's about time.
I think we do need to play this audio. So this is from the podcast from
New Heights. Yes,
I always want to call it High Hopes. New Heights. That is your podcast.
Listen, if you can plug High Hopes, and we get a $100 million contract like they got.
I always plug High Hopes.
Clap your hands. New episode just dropped.
So, all right, not that one.
He never mentions clap your hands.
Yeah. All right.
I know.
Here is. Because I'm insulted by it. Here is the New Heights podcast, Travis and Jason Kelce talking about WIP.
Does Nick Sirianni not get enough love from Philly?
You know what? I was listening to WIP this morning. I think the Eagles fan
is WIP.
WIP is the local, like, big sports talk show station in Philadelphia.
So they're the ones that have been on them.
Well, they control a lot of the narrative. But I will say, they usually are. I think WIP is pretty much... For the most part, I don't want to say for the most part, WIP is oftentimes just a reflection of what the fan base truly thinks about the team.
Yeah, that's how you keep the fans involved.
Sometimes they
are
wrong.
That's how you keep them listening.
Sometimes they are wrong.
See, that's what I mean. I told you, Sirianni is done.
They're also, it tends to be the loudest fans, which, you know, hey, listen, I go on WIP. I like listening to WIP for these exact reasons. I like hearing those perspectives.
So... Jason was walking a very, very thin line on a very, very high fence, making sure that he didn't talk bad about the fans.
Sure.
He didn't talk bad about WIP. It was actually an excellent example. Politicians should listen to Jason, what Jason did.
Did he list his favorite morning show moments after this to Travis? No.
He's still thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Not easy.
He's still stuck. There's so many.
Corey in Columbus, you're on WIP. What's up, Corey?
Man, Spike, Jeff, we don't care what y'all like. You're talking about my eyes told me. My eyes tell me a lot, too. And sometimes I feel like you need to get your prescription checked. You're talking about, the passing game ain't to my liking.
Mm-mm.
But we ain't judging off your likes.
It's mid-pack.
It's mid-pack.
The stats tell you it's mid-pack then.
It's mid-pack.
And in 2022, you wasn't here. It was the same conversation. And Jack up there lying, talking about he was more impressed. He ain't never been impressed with Jalen Hurts. Mm-mm. Somebody lied to the people like that. You on WIP lying. This is a truth station. Don't be up here lying, Jack. Elliot. Y'all right. First of all, let's get to Hurts. We ain't going to ever lose. Because of him. And let's even talk about Todd Bowles.
That's not how sports work.
If Jalen Hurts at A.J. Brown. Now, if you want to say A.J. Brown the MVP, I give you that. When A.J. Brown played versus Todd Bowles, what happened? A.J. Brown, the bully. So don't give me no defense. Don't give me none of that. I stay in the same tier as the Lions, the Chiefs. And don't give me Jared Goff, man. Y'all sit up here and y'all love these quarterbacks that be looking average, middle of the pack. See, the Lions, karma gonna come for them. I'm telling y'all, I said the same thing about the Cowboys last year.
Karma? What did they do?
They up here by 50. St. Brown getting touchdowns with 3 minutes left. But I'm letting y'all know.
They still scoring.
They see that. Y'all better watch. Y'all want to embarrass teams. Y'all trying to get Dougie P fired, running up the score, laterals, and set the offensive linemen and all that. Okay, your day's going to come.
It's bad coaching.
I'm telling you that today. Your day's going to come. Keep trying it. I want to roll up with the Eagles. I don't care if we go to Detroit. I don't care. We can play at a neutral site. I don't give a damn. I'm taking Hurts over Goff. Our defense, they're trying to poo-poo the defense. Like all this. Who the Lions got?
No one's ain't on that side.
I'm not
defense.
Afraid of them dudes. I'm not afraid of them,
dude. Tell them, Corey.
Corey, this is a truth station. Who was poo-pooing the defense?
They running game, Gibbs and them. I don't need two backs. You know why I don't need Gibbs and Montgomery? Because I got a beast. I got Superman back there to carry the torch. I got bullies on the outside. But just remember, this is birds at the half, baby. F them other teams. I'm going to let you know. Michael Jordan, man, we in the kitchen cooking, dog. So y'all can hate. All I know is I don't want to see y'all on no floats. No jerseys on, none of that. When we walking down Broad Street,
yeah, Hurts, Jack.
Because I keep saying,
Walker can't wear the Jalen jersey
the Super
anymore.
Bowl.
He wanted to put it on yesterday.
Sure
I said no.
Make sure when you ask, can Jalen Hurts take us to the Super Bowl, make sure you say back. Can you say, can Jalen Hurts get us back to the Super Bowl? Because he's been there.
It's a good
that
point, Corey.
Them other quarterbacks y'all love, when
so
they're going to get there, because my guy touched the grass. My guy smelled the scent. So is he going to get us back? Yes.
Are you done? Are you done?
I'm done. Go ahead and talk. Go.
I don't even know what to respond to. Which thing do you want me to respond to?
He unloaded a lot there.
On the web, I unloaded the clip. Pow, pow, pow.
Yeah. That's what happens when you don't let him lead the
you
show.
Told me, you told me you didn't want eye test, so he gave you numbers. Numbers don't count, so we're back to eye test. Then you said something we didn't even say. Nobody here said that the defense was talking
you
bad
ain't
about.
You said eye test. You said your liking. You said my liking. That ain't eye test. You said the passing game ain't to my liking.
The passing game is mid-pack.
What is that measurement? What's that measurement? What do you like? I don't
DVO.
Know. You don't All even right. eat meat. Right. You don't even eat meat.
Yeah, you don't even eat meat.
You eat a lot of meat, Corey? You big meat guy? Got a lot of meat in your mouth?
There you go. There you go.
Well, you started it. You started. Get out of here. Guy's out of control. All right.
You made him wait an hour and 40 minutes.
Ellie.
That's why I got to let him lead off.
Well, we did not take a ton of calls today. We got a lot of people, a lot of mouths to feed up here. Like Corey, his mouth obviously would be full of meat. Elliot.
Yes.
I want you, and then maybe we all come in and give you a dose of reality.
Okay.
I want you here at Birds at the Half. It's an important day, and we'll find out later why it's an important day.
Oh, I wonder why.
For Eagles Insider of the Year.
Yeah.
I just want you to make your case and sort of grade yourself. How have you been this year as an insider?
So I would just say, when talking about Eagles Insider of the Year, I think the point of it is, like, who keeps the fans the most informed, right? Like, who is the most informed? If you can only follow one Eagles person, who are you doing?
Uh-huh.
And I think that answer is me. I think it's me. I think
OG Wade thinks it's him.
Yeah, OG Wade would be two. Yeah, he'd be the Hurts Insider of the Year. So I would say this year, what would I grade myself?
Over the newspaper reporter, over McManus?
I have great respect for McManus, right?
Yeah, but good GM speak.
I just
and the newspaper reporter?
Yeah, he does a great job.
Okay.
But I think I'd give myself an A-.
Okay. Mm. All right, well, we're looking for only A's. Jack, what grade would you give Elliot so far?
I just think the term insider gets thrown around so loosely.
Mm.
You know, I think he's beat reporter we need.
It's a good point.
He's a beat writer we need.
But he's not a beat writer
but
anymore.
So like also,
he's a tweeter and a podcaster. So are you an influencer that we need?
I think sometimes you guys also really value stuff that's impossible to prove correct or not.
Yeah. Like what? Name one.
Well, I'm just saying, like, all the news is broken by national guys.
No,
well, that sounds
true.
Like you're
I'm with you, Elliot.
You're conceding.
I'm not conceding. It's
newspaper reporter breaks stuff. And that's
Tim McManus broke that one story.
I think I am friends with all these people. They do great jobs. I'm just saying, like,
have some pride,
just
Elliot.
I just said one scoop.
What's the last scoop that we've gotten from old
ESPN?
You
don't think I'm trying? Like, yes, it's hard.
Well, I think you do your best work prior to the season. That's why you're always strong coming out of training camp.
Training camp. Because
I listen, you're like our eyes at training camp.
But again, that could be an issue. Look at those eyes.
Well, I think I've been proven right besides the offensive line.
Yeah, you did want to be an offensive lineman.
I was wrong. What do you want me to say? Yeah. I was wrong. I missed on that.
Ike, what grade would you give Elliott so far from an insider perspective?
Oh, I'll give him an A.
Yeah, see? There we go.
Oh, come on. I have some shame.
It seems like all the football guys seem to grade me highly.
He is strong, man. He's strong, man.
Yeah.
Well, of course he's strong. He's the best.
He was asking the questions that we wanted to know about.
But he started getting boxed out.
Yeah, what's going on with the PR? Why aren't they letting you ask the first question anymore?
They weren't giving me the first question. I happened to be first.
He was a bulldog.
Do you think you've done a better job this year than Howard?
Yeah, I would say so.
Wow.
I think he's done a better job than Howard.
We'll have to bring
that
up.
We have different jobs. Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Like, Howard is good. Howard is good on the Sixers.
Howard's two Sixers focused right now.
Yeah. Well, he's dead right about the Sixers. That's the tough part.
But here's the thing. He wasn't dead right about the Sixers.
No, he was. He's right.
He's right.
What was he wrong about?
Yeah, what was he wrong about?
Because they've had a chance to win the title like 4 years
ago. Oh, my ass.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Have they really had a chance to win the title?
Hold on.
They've been the betting favorite.
He said when they hired Brian Colangelo, they finally hired a basketball guy. And he would save the franchise. He said when they put Elton Brand in charge.
Swings and misses.
He said when they put Elton Brand in charge, he supported that. Elton Brand traded for Tobias Harris and then gave him a 5-year maximum contract.
That's a good move.
Okay. He
also won't give Maury credit for Maxey.
Right.
Sure
he says
Maury
credit
for McCain.
Elton Brand drafted him.
That was Elton Brand's.
Right, but Elton Brand is under Daryl Morey.
He's
here for a week.
We all know.
Oh, here he is.
We all know if the Maxey pick hadn't worked out, then it would have been Maury's fault. If the McCain pick hadn't worked out, it would have been Maury's fault.
Would have been Maury's fault.
Well, but they both.
But he's been dead right about the most important issue, which is Joel.
No, he wasn't.
He's correct.
What was he wrong about with Joel?
If you hold on to a take long enough.
He's been the best player in the league. Yeah, exactly. He's been the best player in the league for 3 years.
He said Maxey was better than Embiid.
Well, he still says that.
Yeah,
he's more valuable. Yeah,
he's definitely wrong there.
Yeah, like I think. Look, the truth is, he was right about Embiid in this sense, 100%. He was right. I was wrong. But the truth is, he is still so mad about Sam Hinkie and the process that he will be negative about all of these things because they all tie back to that. So that's fine. I respect holding on to the take and the grudge that long.
Yeah.
I respect it 100%.
And the process was.
And he's
right,
also
obviously.
I don't know. He may be more anti Daryl Morey than he is.
Well, yeah, because he's afraid of smart people, but it's fine.
It's just crazy because Daryl Morey is a Hall of Fame general manager.
He is.
Oh, my ass.
He
revolutionized the entire league.
Oh, revolutionized this.
He made the league
worse. He made
worse.
League sucked.
Yes, the league sucks right now.
If it wasn't for the Warriors, he'd probably have like 3 rings.
Yeah. Oh, my ass.
I will bet anyone who wants to put money on it on this panel that he will be in the Hall of Fame.
Iguodala deserves the Hall of Fame more than Morey.
I think Iguodala also should be Hall of Fame.
First of all,
Hall of Fame is a joke.
Yes. It is a joke.
And he doesn't deserve it more than Morey.
He does. He's won 4 titles.
And he's the Finals MVP.
And
the Olympics.
Player, but
he shut down LeBron. He only averaged a triple-double against him.
Yeah. Right. Daryl Morey's built.
All right, it's birds at the hat.
He averaged 35 points a game.
It is not Sixers at the hat.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
It's only Sixers, what, 1/8 of the season?
Yeah, please.
Well, the Sixers season's basically over anyway. So.
Well, who knows?
I think
who knows?
I think we all know.
Only the big takes on the afternoon show.
Yeah.
Real quick for everyone, just give me one answer.
Thank you.
Who has a better chance to be a Philadelphia Eagle at the start of the 2026 season, Nick Sirianni or Jalen Hurts?
Nick Sirianni.
Elliot, who has a better chance of being with the Philadelphia Eagles at the start of the 2026
season? Nick by a mile.
Ike?
Both.
There he is. Where's that fence? Straddling the fence.
So we have a very big 4 o'clock hour coming up.
Huge 4 o'clock hour.
You think we're going to get rid of a guy who wins the Super Bowl?
Both of them?
That's a good point. Huh? That's a good point. So
we got rid of Doug.
4 o'clock hour.
And Nick Foles.
Yes. Yeah, that's actually an even better point.
Carson went out. He didn't even win the game.
Yeah. So coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, Baldy will join us at the beginning of the 4 o'clock hour, as he does every Wednesday at 4. Then the king himself, Howard Eskin, joins us after that. Then we will give away Lincoln Park tickets. You have to sing for them again at 4:30. Then Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings.
Can't wait.
And we'll have Howard here for that. And we have a very special thing that could happen during those power rankings that we have not shared with anyone. And then Ryan Mannion of the Travis Mannion Foundation will join us right after that. It's a very big 4 p.m. hour. This is the WIP. Thank you, Elliot, for joining us. Remember,
thank you. Always fun.
You can download the Go Birds pod, which comes out every single day.
Yep.
In the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And Elliot will be there tomorrow at Chickies and Pete's at Terminal E for a tailgate party.
7:30 in the morning.
7:30 in the morning.
Buy him five shots of whatever you want.
I shouldn't have said this on the air. Yep. Everyone's going to,
It's a pour the shots into his tiny shoes. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.